For our second reading to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now, and I have oxen, and asses, and flocks, and men servants, and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night, and took that which came to his hand, a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass on before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau, my brother, meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold also, he is behind us." And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the droves, saying, "On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me." So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And may God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so in the very first section, the first couple of verses, we see that Jacob went on his way toward home, and a company of angels compassed him about. This is not the first time that Jacob has seen angels. He saw them once before at the ladder. Now he sees them again, and they are encamped around him. In other words, the Lord pulled back the veil and gave Jacob a vision of that company of angels that surrounded him and protected him. This is a very trepidatious time in Jacob's life. He's traveling back home, and he is under fear that Esau will not receive him and that will still seek to kill him. And not only him, but others as well of his family, of his kindred. And so Jacob is afraid, and the Lord comforts his patriarch with this view of the angels. And Jacob calls it Mahanaim. We're not by ourselves. There's two hosts. There's our host, us, and then there's the angels that are surrounding us. And so we have this concept of angels that are sent forth, as the writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, in service of those who are inheriting salvation. I'm not certain that we can go so far as to say that this concept that has been superstitiously taught of guardian angels, that could be true. But I am inclined to say that the Lord does often send his angels forth in support of those who are inheriting salvation. I can say that with authority because the Bible says it. And so we ought to understand that while there are things going on that we may not see in the unseen world about us, there is also, as part of those things going on, that there are supports that are going on as well. All right, so then in verses 3 through 8, we have Jacob's procedure. His procedure is to split the company up, because he has heard now that Esau is coming, and he's very happy to see you. He's so happy, he's called 400 men of his fighting men together to come see you. And so Jacob is put to fear. He believes that Esau, his brother, perhaps has rounded up a band to destroy him. And so Jacob takes a defensive posture here. He sends the droves first. He divides his family up into several, well, first of all, into two bands. Then beyond that, he sends the droves. And then he separates even the children and the wives, sending the concubines with their children first, then Leah with her children, and then Rachel and Joseph at the very last. And so he is trying to insulate, trying to buffer, trying to set up a defensive formation against what he thinks might be the threat of Esau. And can we say that that is not an unlawful thing to do, but perhaps a very wise thing to do? Although Jacob is using means, we see in the next section in Jacob's prayer that he is not trusting in even lawful means. And so he commits himself and the safety of his family unto God in his prayer, which is indeed a prayer of faith. He begins with that covenantal formula, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac. He recounts God's promises to him. He humbles himself before the Lord for his mercy and for his truth. Notice he says, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies, and thou hast not withheld anything that has been good to me, especially knowledge. Mercy and truth. Remember mercy and truth in the Old Testament? Right? Chesed ve'emet. And chesed and emet being brought together are gospel teachings in the Old Testament. And so Jacob recounts that as well. Remember that phrase when Jacob says, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. That is a good phrase to memorize. A good phrase to remember. Then he recounts the Lord's present blessing in the light of his former poverty and flight. Right? Last time I crossed over here, I had just a staff. I had a rock for my pillow and a little bit of oil to pour on that rock. Now I'm increased into a company so big I've divided them into two. He asks his petition of the Lord in very specific terms. And he says, I am afraid of my brother Esau. Have you ever confessed your fears to the Lord like that? That kind of candor? Oh, he will hear you. This is a very comforting prayer that Jacob prays. And then he remembers the promises of God and encourages himself in recounting those back to the Lord. The saints of old have often done this as an encouragement to themselves. Listen, God doesn't need a reminder. He knows his promises that he's made. And yet, as a part of the prayers, we praise him for his promises and we return those promises to him. That is a comfort to ourselves, and it is indeed a way that we praise him. In a confession, we are indeed relying upon those promises. All right, so then in the next section, we have the furthering of that plan, the dividing of his family and his household, his setting everything up and his sending the droves on ahead, and all of those instructions. All right, so then after he sends them over the river, the ford of the Jabbok River, which is on that other side of the Jordan, that eastern side, then Jacob is left alone. It's the middle of the night. Jacob is left alone with his thoughts, and yet not quite alone, is he? There he wrestles with a man, it says, until the break of day. It's a very interesting passage, isn't it? And the Lord orchestrated this event to teach several things. Could the Lord have simply met Jacob, told him who he was, struck him in his thigh and said, now, get over there and do what you're supposed to do? Well, of course he could have. But instead, to bring up the heart, to advance the sanctification of the great patriarch of old, he wrestles with him, it seems, for hours. Jacob, all of his life, has been doing what? Well, he's been wrestling with God. He's been wrestling with God to get the blessing. He wrestled with God to get the birthright. He wrestled and wrestled and wrestled and thought that through his own working and through his own machinations and through his own cleverness that nobody's caring for Jacob, so Jacob's got to care for himself. And so he's been wrestling with God all of his life. He wrestled the birthright away from Esau by offering a bowl of soup. He wrestled the blessing away by dressing up like a goat. You remember. He's been wrestling and wrestling his whole life. He has finally wrestled with Laban to the point that he won. Wrestle, wrestle, wrestle. Right? Jacob the supplanter, we might even call him Jacob the wrestler. But now at this point in Jacob's life, he meets his match. Yeah, he got it over on Esau. Yes, he got over on Isaac. And yes, it took 20 years, but he finally got over on Laban. And the Lord had taken all of Laban's cattle and gave them to Jacob. And he hightailed it out of town. But the Lord meets him and he says, you will not over-wrestle me. You must deal with me. And so Jacob wrestles and wrestles and wrestles. And all of his life, he has never been truly, as we look at Jacob's life, we could say that he has never truly been servant to any. He has never truly called anyone his master. Why? Because he's always sought to get what Jacob needed from everyone. But here, he wrestles, he cannot prevail. And when he sees that he cannot prevail, the Lord puts one final stroke upon it, strikes him in his thigh, so now his leg is out of joint. And that's when Jacob says, I will not release you until you bless me. I have met the one who I can't out-wrestle, and so instead, I will not release you until you bless me. If I cannot have you as my enemy that I have defeated, then I will humble myself before you. This is the mind of Jacob here. And he refused to let the angel go until that blessing had come. Brothers, sisters, do you refuse to let God depart from you without a blessing? Or do you prevail with Him? Do you prevail upon Him? Do you take heaven by storm, as the way Thomas Watson put it? Have you refused to be turned away without a blessing? Is that blessing so desirable to you that you will wrestle all night to get it, and recognizing that you cannot get it by force, will you humble yourself before Him that you may get it and not depart until you do? I know that some theologians and commentators have set Jacob's conversion at Bethel. And I understand that. And that may be true. But if there was a great conversion that took place in Bethel, there was a great moment of sanctification that took place here in Peniel. It is indeed huge in Jacob's life. And as a remembrance of it, the Lord leaves him limping for the rest of his life, that he will remember that he finally met his match. We've got to meet our match. All right, so then Jacob names the place Peniel. Oh, one more thing. This is really important. I almost forgot it. Remember, just a few chapters back, Isaac is sitting there and Jacob is in front of him with goat skin on his hands and Esau's covenant coat on. And Isaac asks him, "Are you my very son, Esau?" "I am your very son, Esau," the angel asks him. "Tell me, what is your name?" Do you think you're still Esau? Do you really want to be Esau anymore? Jacob says, "My name is Jacob. I'm the supplanter." And the angel says to him, "Not anymore, you're not. Now you're a prince. You're a prince with God. You have power with God with your refusal to depart until you are blessed." Can't forget that part in chapter 32. All right, so Jacob changes the name of that place. He calls it Peniel. And so then he goes forth to meet Esau. And we'll read about that encounter in the next chapter, Lord willing. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of Psalms.